I'm Dave Crooks from the DLC Media News Center. On this weekend's Focus on the Community, we chat with Matt Ames, Public Information Officer at the Indiana State Police Putnamville District. Learn how to become a state trooper, as well as the latest news and information regarding the upcoming holidays on Hoosier Highways. Good morning, Matt.
Well, good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
Hey, no complaints. How about yourself?
Absolutely. It's a great day to be working for the state of Indiana.
Well, that's the right chipper attitude we like to hear.
It is. I enjoy every day getting up in the morning and being able to put this uniform on and serve the great citizens here of Indiana.
Well, you're looking sharp today. I made sure today I got a picture of you in your full uniform, so we'll share that a little bit later. But let's talk about the Christmas holidays in a moment. But before we do, I keep noticing on your social media site and starting to get a little news coverage, too. The state police really needs additional state police patrolmen, correct?
Yes, we do need a lot more patrolmen that are out on the roadways.
And then, I mean, how many state police officers do we have? Any rough idea?
Right now, we're allotted over 1,200 sworn officers here for the state of Indiana. And right now, we're right around 800.
Oh, wow. So we're really down a lot then.
We are down a lot. And that's the reason why we're out here pushing forward towards a recruit, getting new recruits. We just had an academy graduate last night. There was 11 new troopers that were assigned. They will be going throughout the entire state. There's 14 districts that they can go to. With those graduating, we're getting ready to ramp up, start doing some recruiting, and we're looking to start a new recruit class starting July the 2nd of next year.
Okay, but still, with 11 new recruits, that's less than one per post. So
that is correct.
We've got a long way to go then, don't we?
We do have a long way to go. And the most important, we find, though, that sometimes people are maybe intimidated by what they hear about, the academy is this long. Our academy is only 23 weeks long. And now that may seem like a long time, but to get the reward out of a career that you're serving in the community, you're being a leader in your community and giving back every single day,
right?
23 weeks long is nothing. It's just like I was in the military for 20 years, did my tour over in Iraq for an entire year. That year went by so fast and was so rewarding by the things that I were able to do and the things that I was able to see while I was over there. It's exactly the same thing about being an Indiana State Trooper.
Well, thanks for your additional service, too, besides being a state police officer. But, let's talk about that for a second. We had a former employee here a couple of years ago that her husband went through this, always had the desire to be a state police officer. And if I understand it, when you go to the training facility, which is what, Plainfield, I guess?
Yes, our training facility is in Plainfield at the ILEA.
Okay, so someone who's actually learning to be a state police officer checks in early in the week, and they pretty much stay there all week long, right?
Yeah, you're required to stay there Monday through Friday. And the course of being over there the 23 weeks, you're going to be taught defensive tactics. You're going to be taught how to drive fast. It's called EVOC. Criminal law, traffic law, first aid, firearms training, de-escalation. And then towards the end of the academy, then you start going through daily scenarios about how it is to be out on the road, how to react to different things. The great thing is though, you meet individuals not only from the state of Indiana, but also from any other location that may want to come in here and be a state trooper. It's the camaraderie that you have with those individuals, and you know, you get new friendships and you're all working towards the same thing, being able to become an Indiana State Trooper.
And unlike the 1 year international tour you took, you get to come home each week too, right?
Yeah, so you get to come home each week. You get Saturday and Sunday at home and you report back on Monday. Of course, once the day that you arrive for the academy, you're starting automatically to be paid. And it's a lot like a military background is what it is. I would call it like an Air Force. There's not a lot of yelling going on, but there is the physical fitness that you have to do. And there is stress that's put on you while you're in the academy. And the reason why is when you're a police officer out here working, whether it's for the state police or any other agency, you know, there's times that you're put in a very stressful situation where you have to think quickly. And that's what they try to reiterate in the academy. But once you graduate from the academy, you can be transferred to any 14 districts in the state. But the most important thing is about being a state trooper, and we try to tell people this, is our slogan is one badge, endless opportunities. And what that means is you know, you can just be a typical road trooper out here every single day, which is the backbone of our organization. And that's the people that see in the white cars and in the uniforms that are out here working. However, we have where you can go into become a commercial motor vehicle enforcement officer and not stopping the semi tractor trailers and doing vehicle inspections on those to make sure that they're operating safely out here. We have a full-time SWAT team that you can become a member of. We have canines. We have a drug enforcement section where we have undercover agents that are out here working and trying to get drugs off the road. And then we have cybercrime individuals. Just different opportunities that you can go through. Once you, hey, I find that I like this a little bit more than just working the roads and do different things.
What's the starting pay these days for a state police officer?
Starting pay the first year is at $51,000 starting out.
Okay, it's still too low. But
It is still too low. However, it's a budget year now. We're talking with legislators right now to try to get us up to where other agencies are here in the state of Indiana.
Well, as a former state lawmaker for 12 years, I just appreciate what you do. And I know that was always a constant battle every 2 years when the budget was being presented. And
those long sessions are good, right?
Yeah, well, good and bad. But it just seems like, wow, for people that do the work that you and others do, it's just you have to want to do it, obviously.
Yes, you do.
And I appreciate the fact that we have 800 that want to serve the state in that capacity. But now, the other benefits, of course, I assume you're on the state's insurance plan, things like that.
Yes, we are on. We have great health benefits.
And that's worth a lot these days.
It is worth a lot these days. Yeah. And also one of the things that our superintendent, Doug Carter, has is that, you know, once you're done through the FTO period, you will be awarded a brand new car, your car, first car out there. You get a brand new car. And also we talk about your uniforms and all the equipment is provided for you. And that's like $9,000 worth of equipment.
Oh, wow. Okay. And FTO means?
Field training officer. Once you would graduate from the academy, you would get assigned a district. You would go to that district and then you have a 3-month period where you would go and ride with different troopers, learn how to do different things. And then you're evaluated every single day. And then at the end of the 3-month period, and once you pass the field training officer program, then you're out on the road and you're all by yourself. And one additional thing we do have now is the second time we've done this is that once you're done with your field training officer program, you receive a $5,000 bonus, but that is going to be a taxable income. But that's a new thing that we're doing.
That's great, though. That's going to perk up some ears there.
I'm sure. Have to perk up some ears. I wish I had a $5,000 bonus when I become a trooper.
Absolutely. So when you think about people that would qualify to be a state policeman, they don't really have to have law enforcement background. Is that correct?
No, they do not. We will take a person with a high school diploma or a GED. You do not have to have that. The most important thing is we're looking for individuals that want to make a difference in the community. They want to be a leader and that they're a humble individual. And they can come out here, be ready to work every single day when they put the uniform on and just serve.
What's the biggest challenge these days for people that serve in law enforcement, in your opinion?
I say probably a lot of it deals with the news media. There's a lot more negative stuff that's put out there than what are positive stuff that's going on. Just like we've had our troopers down in Sullivan County, they just did shop with a cop down there, just doing positive things. A lot of our troopers are giving back in the community. They're coaches, they're leaders in their local churches. They're doing things to give back. And a lot of times that doesn't make the headlines. The only things that we see sometimes in the news media is going to be the negative stuff. Well, but there's a lot of good things going on out here, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, we want to turn that around for you because I do appreciate what you guys do. And I think a lot of times if it wasn't for the state police and all our local law enforcement, we'd be in a big, tough battle right now when bad things happen or people decide to do bad things.
That is true.
Yeah. So I put you guys in a very positive light, Matt. So let's hope that the news media follows suit across the board. I think locally you get usually decent treatment, but I think people sometimes take a story and they don't articulate it correctly, perhaps.
That's correct. You gotta always have to remember this. There's two sides of every story.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when we tell a story, we maybe have to hold back a little bit because there's called what a criminal investigation is ongoing.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I know that sometimes is a complaint I'll see on social media. People will just lose their minds over the early information on something, and they don't have all the facts that you do they?
No, they do not. And there's a reason why all those facts don't come out is because we're providing that information to the local prosecutor's office, and there's 92 of them here in the state of Indiana.
Right.
We're providing them that information, and then so that way, if the individual goes to trial, then that individual receives a fair trial versus having everything publicized out in the public so they can have a jury.
I'm guessing that that's got a lot to do with the investigation that's finally getting a lot of attention in northern Indiana with the two young girls that died, and they've got a suspect. But Mr. Allen, of course, is in court trying to make some maneuvers and get a different jury, for instance. But I'm sure there's a lot that doesn't need to be said into the entire public because we're trying to piece this all together, I guess.
That is correct. I mean, you can take an example here, the trial that we had with Orville M. Majors. I mean, that was a huge trial.
Clinton.
How we had to keep that information until it went out in front of court.
And you're hoping for those guilty parties to make a mistake or two that you can catch them on, of course, too.
Absolutely.
So, if they know everything you know, that's no advantage for the police that are investigating. So.
That's true.
Anything else you want to say about recruitment? Where can we? Is there the State Police Post website?
It's very easy. All you have to do is go on to indianatrooper.com. You can go to that, and applications right there, and just fill out the application. If you need some assistance with that, you can call over to the Putnamville State Police Post at 1-800-742-0717, or you can send me a direct message at ISP Putnamville on Facebook or on Twitter, and we can go through the process with you to help you get that information so you can get applied. Now, one thing we do want to remind people is that part of the process is making sure that you're able to pass our physical agility test. And in my opinion, I'm 51 years old. I can still pass it today. It's just doing 25 push-ups, 42 sit-ups, a mile and a half in 16 minutes and 38 seconds. 300 meter run in 71 seconds. And then there's a stand and jump that you have to do, which I can do that as well, but I don't know what the exact measurement is.
So if someone's morbidly obese, forget it, right?
I mean, yeah, well, unfortunately, yes.
That's a problem, I think, with the masses right now, that we've got another problem we've got to deal with when it comes to that. But yeah, we definitely want our troopers to be in great physical health. And then there's a lot of demands on the physical side of this, I guess, the body that you've got to deal with.
That's true. And I always believe that if you're physically feel good about yourself, you're going to be mentally strong too out here.
Absolutely. So indianatrooper.com, is that right?
That is correct.
So just all full words. And if you go to indianatrooper.com, all the details for potential recruits are there for you. And is there any deadline coming up on this next batch that they hope to recruit?
April the 27th will be the deadline on it.
Okay. So now,
with the academy starting on July the 2nd.
So keep that in mind, folks. If you're thinking about a career in law enforcement, or if you know of someone in your family, send them to indianatrooper.com. We are talking to Matt Ames, the public information officer at the Putnamville District of Indiana State Police. We're approaching the holidays, of course, Christmas and New Year's. You got a lot of people that are excited about visiting friends, relatives. First of all, a lot of times they're running behind, and that kind of gets a person anxious when they get behind the wheel.
That is true.
Let's give some basic reminders about how being in a hurry is really not going to save you that much time if you're a few minutes late for grandma's.
It does not really save you that much time. You know, just think about running 15 to 20 mile an hour faster than what you're supposed to be. You know, they're supposed to speed limits for a reason. And the reason why is that's due to other traffic that's going to be out there. That's roads that are coming on the north and southbound lanes, people coming out there. They're there for a reason, to make it safe for you.
Absolutely. So if you have to stop on a moment's notice, you know, you want to be able to stop quickly. I mean, we're all out on the highways each and every day. And yeah, there is a reason for the speed limits. But let's give some basic tips that maybe people don't always think about, especially this time of the year when so many people are on the roads and we're going to parties and other events like that. Share what you would like people to think about when they get behind the wheel.
But number one, make sure that you're not driving while distracted. When it's time to drive, it's time to drive. Put your cell phone down, hand it to another person in the vehicle if you need to be communicating back and forth with someone. Make sure that when you're getting ready to go, especially with the colder weather now, and we're getting ready to possibly have some snow flurries today, you need to make sure that your vehicle is ready to go for the winter conditions that we're getting ready to have. And number one, make sure you have a good battery on the vehicle. Make sure you have good tires on the vehicle. And a real simple thing is you need to have at least 2 30-second tread on your vehicle for good tires. And all you have to use is a penny with the Abraham Lincoln on it. And it's an old wise tale that my dad taught me when I was a young kid. You can take that the head on there, and where it touches the hairline of Abraham Lincoln, that means your tires are good to go. Make sure you have washer fluid in your reservoir, and make sure you have good windshield wipers. And another thing we look at too is make sure all your lights are prepared to go on the vehicle. Make sure that all your taillights are working, your headlamps are working, both in the bright mode and in the dim mode.
And I want to bring this up because I know that a lot of people have automatic headlights that go on and off these days, but many don't. And I get a little frustrated driving to work at dark or going home at dark. And it's like, people, turn your headlights on, for goodness sakes.
That is true. Sometimes people just make a mistake.
Sure.
Make sure that you have it on auto so that it's coming on automatically for you the entire time.
And if it's an older vehicle, turn them on. I mean, if when in doubt in the winter months, you know, it's okay to have them on till 9 in the morning or turn them on at 4:30 in the afternoon. I mean, it just, I want to make sure I can see you when I'm driving down the road.
That's true. You know, another thing we ask with this cold weather coming along too is people to have like an emergency kit in their vehicle.
Yep.
Especially sometimes if you're on the interstate and we've worked several major accidents, during a winter, especially when a commercial motor vehicle is involved, because there's going to be a blockage on the road and we've got to take a while for our large wrecker services to get there to get them off the roadway. But make sure that you, some of the extra items that you would want is have a blanket in your vehicle, have a flashlight, have some jumper cables in case you need a jump or someone else needs a jump for their vehicle to get it going again. Possibly have some road flares in your vehicle. You can get those at your local stores like Rural King, Menards, Lowell's. Or you can have just like the reflective triangles. And that really helps out when someone's coming up behind you. It gives you a little bit more visibility, so therefore they can not hit you in the rear end. You could also would want to carry maybe a small shovel in the vehicle with you and maybe some kitty litter or some extra sand. Number one, that's going to help you with some to gain some traction in the rear of the vehicle. But if you do get stuck, you have that stuff there available for you that you can put underneath your wheel so you can get the traction to get out.
Good point. And I know gas is at least starting to get a little bit cheaper, but wintertime is not the time to be running on fumes, is it?
So. No, it's not. You need to at least make sure that your gas is at least half a tank full the entire time. Allows your vehicle to work a little bit better, and you're not going to get stuck out somewhere.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the traffic delays at times. If there's a wreck and you're stuck in traffic for an hour and it's cold out, you want the car's heater still to work. And if you're almost out of gas, that's going to be a real issue. So
that is true. And, you know, we're talking about making sure your car's warm. We're running into where it's going to be colder right now. And just this morning, I know Terre Haute Police Department was working one. People want to start their cars early in the morning, allow it to warm up. So it's, hey, I'm going from my warm house immediately to my warm car. We don't encourage you to do that. However, if you are going to warm your car up, you want to make sure that you are have a light on so that you can see your vehicle the entire time. Make sure that you lock your car after you start it. And if, like the vehicles that we drive, it has where you can lock the transmission up if the key fob's not there. Make sure you're using every anti-theft vehicle technology you have to your ability, so therefore your vehicle doesn't get taken care of.
Good point. Lock those doors. We were coming out of a restaurant earlier this week in Terre Haute, and I my wife drove, and I looked over, and there was a guy tapping on my window. Kind of startled me. He was begging for money, for one thing, which was, I see that a lot, especially coming off the interstate.
Yeah,
these
especially
days.
Off the interstate.
There's not really a whole lot you can do about that, right? I mean, it's just you don't want to arrest someone who's hard up, of course. But
no, you don't.
But do you sometimes have doubts? Do you see those people that make that kind of a profession practically?
Yes, we do see that.
I bet you do, because I know I was traveling in South Carolina a couple of summers ago and was at this very small independent motel, and one guy was staying there and another guy knew him, and he said, well, he's off to work, and I didn't think much of it. Well, I went to local restaurant, brought some food back, and there was that guy standing at the motel with a sign up near an intersection begging for money, and I got back to the motel, saw the other guy, and I said, is that guy like his job out begging for money? He said, oh yeah, does it every day. He's got to pay the rent today.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, you just never know. So, but anyway, not to beat on homeless people or people hard up, but sometimes you got to be a little extra careful that not everyone there is quite as indigent as they appear, perhaps, I guess.
Perhaps
so. That's a tough call, isn't it?
It is.
So this time of the year, we're approaching New Year's, but, you know, on the holidays, we like to go visit friends and have a drink or two. Let's talk about designated drivers and when you obviously need to stay away from behind the wheel if you've had too many drinks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 56% of all crashes that occur here in the United States, whether it's a personal or a serious personal injury accident or a fatal accident, is contributed to alcohol or other drugs. And sometimes everyone just thinks of like marijuana or methamphetamines, but other drugs is people also misusing their prescription drugs.
Oh boy.
And so we do have people are like, well, how do you pick up on that? We have what's called drug recognition enforcement officers that are out here.
Okay.
And those guys and gals have extra training that allows them to pick up on the clues, and they have additional tests that they can give them at the scene, and then they will go in and do a blood draw. The most important thing is, if you're going to go out and you're going to have a good time, make your plan before you get ready to go out and start having a good time. Whether it's you're going to have someone that's going to be your designated driver. We all, right now we have Uber, we have Lyft. You can get a ride home, or basically just stay where you're at, so that way you can make it safe for yourself and for everyone else that's out there traveling on the roadway. And you know, you talk about the roadways, people need to realize that the divider line between traffic that's going northbound, southbound, or eastbound, or westbound is only 6 inches. So you have a 6-inch line that's separating you from another vehicle. And what people need to realize is that you need to rely on yourself, but you're also relying on that other individual's driving. You're making sure that they're paying attention to what's going on out there. They're paying attention to the speed limits. They're not under the influence of alcohol or any other types of drugs, and they're just getting where they need to be. Because the last thing that we as police officers or troopers want to do is have to go and knock on someone's door and relay bad information, especially when alcohol or drugs are involved, because we all know that's 100% preventable. So just make the right decision and don't ever drive under the influence.
Absolutely. And just being distracted, whether it's the phone or, you know, activity going on in your car, when you look away for that 1 second, that might be the 1 second that the car does move 6 inches to the center lane. And then you've got a problem if someone else is coming at you and doing the same thing. You know?
Exactly. You're going to be head on, and that's not going to be a good thing. And we've had 903 fatals so far here in the state of Indiana. And, you know, a lot of those are preventable. Now, we're not saying accidents. Accidents happen for a reason. That's why they're called accidents. But the ones that are preventable, we want to put a stop to those.
Absolutely. So do make a plan, and you're not fooling people. And if you think you're going to be able to drink and go to a party or smoke a doobie or whatever the people do these days, they're going to catch up with you. And not only could you hurt someone else, which you'll really regret, but boy, it's not cheap getting a DUI these days, is it?
Approximately getting a DUI is going to cost you, you know, legal fees. You're going to have court costs. That's approximately $10,000.
Yeah, and if you lose your license, you may not be working.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You may not be working.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this up when it comes to holiday driving and anything else you want people to know from state police?
You know, the most important thing is the time of the year that we're giving back and we're being courteous towards everyone. We just encourage everyone to be a courteous driver out here. Make sure that you're not following too close. Make sure that you're using your turn signal, letting people know that you're making a lane change, or if you're at a stop sign or at a stop light. Studies have shown that at stop signs and stop lights, only 25% of people do not use those turn signals. And when they're going from one lane to another, it's over 50%. Communicate with people. That's the reason why we have those turn signals on our vehicles.
Sure.
So let's make sure we're using those out there. But the most important thing is, let's have a safe holiday here, especially here in the Wabash Valley. Take the opportunity to say something nice to somebody. Take the opportunity to wave and just let everyone know that you're having a good day, and try to bring a little bit of cheer to someone else.
Very good. And Matt, for those that want to follow you on Facebook or Twitter, remind them how they can track you down.
They can follow us at ISP Putnamville.
Okay. Well, Matt, have a Merry Christmas. We appreciate everything you and your fellow officers do to keep us safe. And we hope it's a safe and fun holiday for you and your family.
Well, thank you very much. All the listeners out there, let's have a good, safe holiday.
Absolutely. And slow down and drink responsibly, and find that designated driver as you go party to party this holiday. So, Matt, take care, my friend. This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday mornings at 6 on 104.9 WAXI, Saturdays at 7 a.m. on WAMB, AM 1130, 106.9 and 99.5, Sundays at 6 a.m. on 105.5 WVIG, and 7 a.m. Sundays on 92.7 WFMB. For a download of this show and other past programs, you can visit any one of our radio station websites. I'm Dave Crooks. Thanks for listening.